This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing very, very well. As always, a very, very huge thank you to all of our supporters over at Patreon. If you'd like to join the group chat, you can go to patreon.com/RomaPress. Where we are in the full swings and the full throes, Andy, of the accounting season. When we are in the group chat during the transfer window, it is always like the time for taxes, and everybody becomes the junior accountant. I posted on there the current book values. I will have that on the website soon. I know I said that in the last podcast, but I posted a graph displaying all of the current book values of all of the players of Roma to make it easier for our patrons to know what the certain plus valenza for certain transfer operations will be, which there are bound to be plenty of them in the next few days, Andy. We are recording this the 28th of June, so less than two full days remaining in the month. As we all know, and this is something we didn't really get into the specifics of it, but we all remember when UEFA, they brought down the financial fair play hammer, which the consistency of this rule, I have searched far and wide, talking to people inside, outside of UEFA, and I still have yet to hear a reasonable explanation as to why it seems that financial fair play regulations are applied so subjectively. But we can save that for another time. But we know Juve, Roma, Milan, Inter, they were all penalized for breaching financial fair play, the break-even regulations, and they will now be limited. The squad for the upcoming season in the Europa League will be limited. And in addition to that, they need to make an important figure of a capital gain, plus valenza, before the end of the month, because just to refresh everybody's memory, the season, technically, the 2022-2023 season, at least from an accounting perspective, it ends in 2 days on the 30th of June. It ends the 30th of June. So the sales that Roma make before then can still be applied to the books of the accounting books for 2022-2023 season. Andy, the figure that they are aiming for, and this has been the one that it's not an official figure, but this is something that the club has been telling to everybody, 30 million euros in capital gains that they need to make before the 30th of June. And they're going to get it, it appears. They're going to get it because of what we've seen about to become official. It should happen today with Roma offloading. Who is it? Volpato and...
Missori.
Missori, yes. Oh, my gosh. They're going to sell those two players to Sassuolo. They will get an important capital gain through that. Perez, they will make his deal to Celta Vigo.
Celta Vigo, yeah.
So they're going to get this 30 million plus Valenza. I won't say by the skin of their teeth, but they should get it without issue. We remember too, Nicolo Zaniolo. We had, in addition to that, the way they structured some of these deals, as far as Belotti, because he came in so late into the transfer window, his wages. Obviously, they could apply just to this season. It all depends when certain players arrive, of course, but also the structure of certain operations. The one that people always tend to ask, if a player arrives on loan with obligation to buy, why do clubs do that? Well, it's more so for accounting reasons. You can put the obligation to buy either in the current season or in the subsequent season. So it provides financial and accounting flexibility to the team acquiring said player. Those are just a few things to keep in mind. But, I mean, so far, with the market, we have two important, in my opinion, free transfers arrive to Roma. Not something that I said in the previous episode that we are used to happening here. We are used to the guys, and we have gone down the list, and I just don't have the mental fortitude to revisit that again. But the free transfers that Roma are used to welcoming are not notable guys, nor are they ones that tend to have high expectations placed upon them. Not the case this summer so far. Awar, Ndika, we're talking about two guys that you can say somewhat comfortably from day one. If you put them into the starting 11, you're not going to have a huge drop off of level. Andy, the guys that are selling, ones that really haven't been factored into the team. So, I mean, if we are just going by how things are going thus far in the transfer market, I have not a single complaint.
Not at all. The fact is that that we are looking at Roma potentially reaching those 30 million in revenue, or as we like to call it, plus Valenza, which is now, a term that I think many people use without really knowing what the hell
it
is.
Yeah, they just use it as a flat fee,
Exactly.
It's like, no, that's not it.
It doesn't, unfortunately, it's more complicated. But the fact that you are potentially going to achieve this result without selling, and this does not exclude, does not rule out potential sales in the future of the likes of Leonardo Spinazzola, Roger Ibanez, who seem to be the two ones destined to leave the capital, right? Like before the summer, before the season ended, when we were thinking, okay, who is gonna, and even the media, like, who is going to give us those 30 million? Like, where are those 30 million going to come from? The answer usually was Tammy Abraham or Roger Ibanez. When Tammy Abraham went down, the answer was Leonardo Spinazzola, because he's got only 1 year left on his contract. And, well, he has been underperforming. So to avoid losing him on a free, you sell him. And then Roger Ibanez, who we all agree that his worth is around 30 million, right? Like, that's that, at least that was the rumored fee that yes. Roma would ask for. The fact that you are able to look ahead to the next phase, to the next stage of this summer window without, the fear of and the stress of being, further penalized, being having teams come at you and throw ridiculous, very underwhelming offers because they know that you're desperate for any money for players that matter to you and players that are important. Doesn't matter what people may say about someone like Roger Ibanez. He is an important player. You may like him, you may not like him. The fact is that for someone like Mourinho, Roger Ibanez is a player that he relies upon. So it doesn't matter if it's Roger Ibanez or Brian Cristante. The fact that Roma finally have managed to get to a point where they can fulfill those, you know, those required 30 million in generated revenue for financial fair play without the need to get rid of a key player in the roster. You know, you are looking at Justin Kluivert leaving the club, a guy who hasn't had anything to do with the club for 2 years. Carles Perez leaving the club, a guy who hasn't had anything to do with the club for the past year. Benjamin right. Tahirovic, who was shaky when he played a few times before the international break, in the World Cup break, sorry, and then near the end, a few minutes here and there. Volpato, whom we haven't seen since November. Filippo Missori, whom we saw twice. And that's about it. So the fact that, you know, this is potentially the lineup that allows you to take a deep breath and plan ahead, plan the other signings, the other moves, give you more time and leeway for other decisions is fantastic, because I've seen Roma too many times make rush decisions and also have to settle for things because of lack of money, lack of time. Instead, here we may finally get a version of Roma that, you know, is ready to rock and roll when it's supposed to rock and roll, because they've achieved their first goal. One of the many goals that they have for this summer. This was perhaps the most important one.
Yeah, 100%. And on top of that, too, I know we are talking about, you know, being able to raise the capital gain through players that really played little or no role within the team this past season. I mean, the deals, again, that they have brought in, the freeze, they are going to get Llorente. That was supposed to be done 2 days ago. I don't know what the delay is with that. His agent, was telling me it was done. It should be official soon. So I'm not really sure what the delays are in regards to that. But still, you're going to get him on a loan again. Diego Llorente. You have obviously Indica too, so depth, much needed depth, we should say, at the back. And Awar, we talked about it in the previous episode, a guy in midfield who just has a different set of characteristics than what is currently within the team and really provides some much needed versatility. So again, I have no issues. Curious to hear, though, what you think about this, because, you want to talk about divisive figures. In the patron group chat, it is Belotti. This guy is either hated or absolutely loved for some reason within our group chat. He is like the, I don't know, I don't want to say the whipping boy when he's out there and things seem to be stagnating in attack. He seems to be the one that some of our patrons like to point to, but I the fact that he has signed a new deal, not surprising, because we all knew really once he signed his initial contract last summer, and there was the possibility of there were a couple options out there or within it to do an extension after the season. It was fairly obvious unless something different came about in terms of being able to acquire a different name, that this was going to be the case. Andy, I just refuse to believe that he will be able to replicate what happened this past season. I am actually fine, and I know this probably will not be too popular of an opinion, but when it just comes to having to find someone, okay, to replace Tammy Abraham with, Belotti, you can do worse. Now, obviously, they are going to try to bring in another name as well. But if you were to tell me match day one, round one, Roma are going to have to rely on as their starting number nine, Andrea Belotti, I'm fine with that. However, I seem to be in the minority of this because, man, he is... either, again, loved or hated, feast or famine this guy in our Patreon group chat.
Well, I mean, that can be said about just about any player who struggles and then does well in the group chat. It's
that is true. That
happened to Nemanja Matic. That happened even at times Paulo Dybala throughout the season, where he would ghost for a game or two, then immediately the reaction would be. And with Belotti, for me, the main thing is, last season is an anomaly for a guy that has always scored and is a proven goal scorer in Serie A. You know,
yeah, look at that track record, man. I mean, if I am not mistaken, over the past, if you remove this past season, I believe he is in the top five of scorers over the last, I think, five seasons. He is in the top five. Don't quote me on that. Obviously, the research we do here before pressing record, it's
laughable, but
laughable as a non-existent. But somebody tweeted something akin to that on Twitter, and we all know Twitter are extremely reliable. So I'm just going to state it as fact, and I reserve the right to be proven incorrect. But still, that sounded right to me, so I just assumed it was. But if you go back and look though at his scoring record, again. It's easy to say just disregard last season, but it is also difficult to do so because of how poor he was, at least in the league. At least
it's a problem. Of course, it's a problem when you go and not score a single goal in all of the Serie A campaign. I think it just means there is something wrong to begin with, and it was always something wrong to begin with in his preparation and the fact that he arrived so late in the summer window. He had no way of really integrating with the rest of the team. And then I think it just that role in a team that in of itself struggled to figure things out on the offensive end, to put a guy like Belotti, who's a poacher, who is supposed to be, you know, he's the type of guy who at Torino, at least, he scored goals not because his teammates gave him the opportunity to, but because his teammates were so bad that he just...
Terrible.
You know, he was like a Pippo Inzaghi in a shitty team. So whenever there was a chance to score for a team like Torino, he'd score because everybody else was crap and they couldn't give him anything to work with. So he had to make life easier for himself. And at Roma, he found himself in a system where, you know, the most of the attention went to Paulo Dybala. Paulo Dybala was the guy with the ball at his feet. But at the same time, Roma struggled to figure things out on the offensive end. So it makes it much harder for a guy like Belotti, who is supposed to be there on the final pass, who's supposed to be there on the far post, you know, who's supposed to be there whenever the opponent's defense is caught sleeping, you know? And I think it's, to me, the last season is a complete anomaly, and for him too, you know, it's pretty clear. This guy has been scoring in Serie A since his early days, you know? This is a guy who, you know, would go on double digits just because he has to, because who else would carry Torino?
A coach who knows the game can teach their team how to improve, but one who genuinely cares about each player can inspire them to win. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.
Right. You know, I mean, if you want to say like a striker that you would just think automatically that Jose Mourinho would absolutely adore, I mean, for me, it's Belotti. Yeah. I mean,
and he does. He does. In he sees what this guy is about. You know, it's not, it's like, he is, you know, for people, you know, that they go out of their way and say he's a bad player. Belotti is a good player. He's a very specific kind of player. Like he had a dark cloud looming over him for most of the season, you know, finds himself first used as a backup to Tammy Abraham. Then Mourinho is so desperate that he puts him alongside Tammy Abraham. Doesn't work. Then he puts him as a starter. Then back to the bench. Then again as a starter. You know, there was such it was so messy up front this past season that it almost seems impossible to want more from this guy. Obviously, you want more in terms of goal scoring in Serie A because zero goals is a problem and will always be a problem. But at the end of the day, going back to your original point, if you are to face next season with Belotti still on the roster, with Belotti still being an important component of the team, I have no problem because I know that this time around he's going to go and get this whole preseason. He's going to be included in all of the necessary training drills in Tammy Abraham's absence. He's going to feel the manager's confidence, which may not have been there at the start of the season. Now Mourinho knows what Belotti's about. He's seen him play with a broken rib, you know. He's hugged him. He's recognized his effort in all of his post-match interviews. Whenever Belotti played, he was basically drawing attention to Belotti's sense of sacrifice for the team. So the key thing here is Mourinho's trust and Belotti's ability to adapt to the team's needs throughout preseason in order to be ready for next season and to put behind all of last season, recharge his batteries, and go on. Because some of the chances that Belotti missed last year, just you look at them and you're like, no, that's virtually impossible. You know, it cannot happen. This does not happen. This does not happen to Belotti a year ago. This does not happen to Belotti 2 years ago. This is just a moment. You know, even to me, the epitome of his time at Roma so far was that missed penalty against Torino. Remember?
Right. Yes.
Where he has a chance to tie it and he fails and nobody shows up to take the penalty. There is rumors that was Dybala who shied away from that moment. I don't want to buy into that. I don't know. The thing is, Belotti steps up, takes the penalty, misses it, and then luckily Matic draws. But that penalty is not a penalty that he misses the year before with Torino. You know what I'm saying? In that moment for him was so big with Roma. He felt it to such a magnitude that he missed something that he wouldn't have missed in any other time. So that to me tells me that is a player that is frustrated, a player that is insecure of himself, a player that is trying to figure things out. And I believe if you give him, you know, also this that was a player playing on a 1 year contract. Now you're a player playing until 2025, you know, and that in of itself has to influence how he's feeling about playing here, you know, that he's not just some hired hand for the moment. He is now, with Tammy Abraham out, he is the man. He has to be the man.
Yeah, 100%. And speaking of being the man, we'll make this the last part because I'm sure, given how long this thing has gone on, we will probably require the most time to discuss this talking point. But this episode with Davide Fratesi, I feel like I am watching an episode of The Sopranos, but it is only the scenes of him talking to Melfi, which during those parts, I usually just fast forward through the episode.
Look at you.
Because they're so long.
You're a typical man who's bored when there is no blood on the screen. Shame on you. Those are some of the most insightful scenes in the whole show.
Okay, well, they don't need 15 minutes of it every single episode, but whatever. We can save that debate for another time. That is how I feel about this thing with Fratesi. Now, part of it, and let me make this very, very clear, even though it has gone on very, very long, Sassuolo are the ones to blame here. They never, ever, unless it's Napoli, of course, because I still don't understand the thing with Raspadori. They put Roma through the ringer. They make Roma walk on water, perform miracles just to get into an advanced negotiation for Fratesi last summer. And then all of a sudden, Raspadori, they just it takes 2 days and Napoli are able to do a deal for him. Meanwhile, Fratesi, we're going on like year two of this thing. Sassuolo, they always make this thing difficult for any negotiation. And then there's just something about Cannavale that I just can't stand when he does these interviews, like the thing where he said the other day, we have always asked 40 million euros for Fratesi. Our request has never changed. Oh, it has changed. It was not half, but it wasn't even close to 40 last summer. I can assure you of that. But we are now in this weird position where you have one day Inter are meeting with him. Then you hear Milan after they offload Tonali.
Juventus met right. with them. So it's everybody's lining up and Cannavale is treating everybody like they're his guests at a villa. Every time, you know, it's like he's hugging them, and then every time nobody else from the other club's management talks to the media after meeting with Cannavale. It's just him. He does all the work. He has this unbelievable love for talking, and he's been mentioning Fratesi. I mean, if you go back throughout the whole season, the off season, there is not a moment that this guy doesn't open his mouth is talking about his own players. And if I was him, I'd be freaking out a little bit that nobody will satisfy my real demands for the players. Because it's pretty evident by now that had these Italian clubs thought, okay, Fratesi is worth 40 plus million, somebody would have offered something akin to that. So far, nobody has come close to it. So take a hint, you know, Giovanni, because the clock is ticking and you're at risk of ending up again with a player that is dissatisfied, angry, frustrated, and wants to leave.
Well, yeah, and we know, and I've said this from the very beginning, the huge advantage that Roma are going to have in this pursuit of Fratesi is, of course, the sell-on clause. It's a huge, huge, huge amount, okay? So Roma don't have to pay 40 million euros. Roma just have to get within a decent amount of range of that. I still think 30 to 35 would get it done. Let's see. I mean, last summer they were requesting 30. Roma were willing to pay that, but everything collapsed when Raspadori went off to Napoli, which, again, I still don't understand how they were able to close for that so quickly. But if this thing for Fratesi, let's just say, Andy, for the sake of this discussion, if it were to fall through, and let's say he goes to, I don't know, Inter, okay, I would be pretty, I won't say gutted, because that's too much hyperbole, but I will be a bit deflated, because it's like, wow, you have been engaged in this pursuit for 1 full year. You had a very clear advantage with the sell-on clause that you had in your corner, and yet you weren't able to get him. Now, let's say, though, for the sake of an argument again, that he does go to another club. Let's say Inter, for instance, are willing to pay the 40 million euros that are being requested by Sassuolo. I mean, Andy, that would give to Roma 12 million euros, give or take. I would be okay with that amount.
I would be quoting Al Pacino in Heat. Give me all you got. Give me all you got. Remember when he goes to see that guy, right, and he's interrogating him this scrapyard, and this guy is just trying to fool him, and Al Pacino just goes, all of a sudden he just bursts out and he's just, give me all you got. Give me all you got.
Speaking of give me all you got and Al Pacino, the fact this guy is still having children at what is he? 82?
Him and Robert, he's 83, and Robert De Niro as well.
De Niro,
and
they're
just having,
cool, man.
Yeah, they're what just the... having a sperm off. They're just having guns blazing, you know, like the old days, until the very end, and I'm all there for it. So that's not a turn that you imagined this discussion would take. No, but seriously, you 12 million for Fratesi, at this point, just give me. I don't care. You know, I'm so sick of seeing this name. He's a good player. He's a good midfielder. People are realizing it. People have been realizing it for the past 2 years. You know, since he's been Serie A, good. He's made that leap. Good job for, you know, like he was good at Empoli, made the leap to Sassuolo, made the leap to Serie A, and it worked out for him, right? He's you can tell that he's fitting in. He's a strong player, and wherever he goes, he'll be good. I don't know if he'll be, you know, world class, but he'll be good. But this is the problem with every single Italian player. There is so much talk. It's molto rumore per nulla. Like, great, you know, there's so much talk that you, all the talent, everything gets squandered by the talk, because not only do the fans buy into it, but the player himself buys into it. Fratesi's giving out 3-4 interviews a week talking about himself as if he was Luka Modric, you know, like that's crazy. So at this point, Fratesi comes to Roma, great. Fratesi doesn't come to Roma, good. Roma get paid for it, fantastic. Just leave me be. I don't care at this point.
Stop the interviews. Oh, it's brutal. And Beppe Riso too, man. He is. He will. I'm telling you, man. This guy. I mean, he would. He would sell his own nona if he could make a buck or two. I mean, he is leaking everything to everyone. So you're not bothered, man, if he doesn't come. You would be fired.
I'm tired, boss. I'm tired, boss. I'm just so tired. I'm so tired that I don't care. You see, that's the problem, is he's a good player, but I don't care. And I think that there is several other options that may just as be as good as him. And you won't have to deal with Giovanni Carnevali. You won't have to deal with the whole Italian media shtick of, you know, here is the next, you know, fantastic world-class player. And then as soon as something goes wrong, it's, what happened to him? Whatever happened to him? You know, he took that leap. It didn't work out. Whatever happened to him? You know, fuck it. At this point, there's too many names, too much pressure. There is other priorities also for Roma to think of. So if he comes, it's great, because I think he's got the quality. He's got, you know, he's got the determination to finally, I think this is the moment for him. I didn't think that last year was good, because it had only been one season in Serie A. That's always shaky. Whereas here now, he's reaffirmed his talent. He's reaffirmed his position as one of the better midfielders in the league. So if he comes, great. But if he doesn't come, it's not a tragedy. You know, it's, life goes on. It's, we right. know that Pinto likes him. He's said it a number of times that he's his favorite Serie A player. But if he doesn't come, not the end of the world. It's, you know, it's like when Barella didn't come. It seemed like Barella was there, but although Cagliari had an agreement with Inter for several months, and then he finally goes to Inter. Yes, Barella is a great player. He's working out great at Inter, but I think it's fine. You know, like does it still hurt? And if it does, then I don't know, get real or something. Because I mean, it's been 4 years. But the point is that life goes on. You know, you can actually breathe and go to sleep without Fratesi.
Right. No, I agree. Very quickly, before we go, just looking around the landscape of Serie A, it's been really, really quiet thus far. Roma, the only ones doing much of anything so far. Obviously, with the free transfers, nobody else has been active on that front. What do you think about what some of the other bigger-ish clubs are doing? I mean,
right.
this thing with Milan. So I did an appearance yesterday. They were asking me about the they phrased the question, Serie A being raided by the Saudi League, and I thought raided seems a bit of an exaggeration, but okay.
Who? Who?
Well, who? That's what I thought.
What?
Who beyond Brozovic?
Maybe, because it's not done. Brozovic. You know? So, no. The one thing that, again, is consistent, like every year, is that unless even the top clubs in Italy sell, nobody's buying, you know? So that's, I mean, think about it. Arsenal are willing to spend over £100 million for Declan Rice. They have the ability to do so. Whereas the champions of Italy, Napoli, haven't done a single transfer move, haven't been rumored to be close to any single player. They're actually now negotiating for Maxim Lopez with Sassuolo. And it seems like they're, you know, it's that could be their big signing of the summer. Like if the reigning Serie A champions have those difficulties, and obviously we know what the Aurelio De Laurentiis and his whole shtick is, but the same went for Milan last year. Milan right now, they're looking to bring in Loftus-Cheek, okay, for 18 million. Where do those 18 million come from? From Tonali's sale.
Tonali,
so,
yeah.
Again, the fact that these big clubs in Italy can only afford to make a monetary purchase, not a free transfer, a monetary purchase, without, you know, with just because they are selling some of their players, that tells you all you need to know about the state of Italian football. So that's the thing that tells you all you need to know. Juventus renewing Adrien Rabiot for another year also tells you all you need to know. That's another,
yeah, have fun,
you know,
Ms. Vialnik, enjoy.
Exactly. So for now, I think everybody is on the same boat, and that's been the case for the last couple of years. So the lesson that needs to be learned here is that in the end, it's smart business, not who's spending most money. It's smart business, at least in Italy. In the present day, the ones who win in the transfer market, that the ones who make the smart decisions, not the ones who spend the most, because nobody is able to spend a lot of money in today's Italian football.
Well said. Okay, we will leave it there. We expect some transfer stuff to be happening until the next episode, at which point we will address it. Let's just sit back and wait. It's going to be slow, I think, for the next week or two, but then we should see things pick up. But until next time, ciao.
Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. Keep the work area clean and organized throughout the renovation process to create a positive impression and minimize stress for the customer. Regularly clean up debris and dust to maintain a safe and comfortable living environment. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. Ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town. Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laedocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.
Shooting drills.
A coach who knows the game can teach their team how to improve. But one who genuinely cares about each player,
you have what it takes. We got this.
Can inspire them to win. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.